nothing disturb you. God never changes. Patience wins all things.
Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the fruit of the Spirit, which is called patience. Patience is something that's in pretty short supply in the world today, isn't it? Patience means a willingness to endure without complaint, to wait quietly, to suffer, constant, undaunted, forbearing under provocation. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, be patient toward all. That means toward the person in front of you in the checkout line who thought she had her money and she counts it out and she realizes she doesn't have enough, so then she has to fish in her purse for her checkbook and she gets out the checkbook and they said, well, this has not been approved, you have to go to the customer service counter. And about that time you move up into your place and it turns out that the checkout clerk has just run out of quarters. So she has to go back and replenish her cash drawer, and you're not feeling very happy about it. Willingness to endure without complaint. To wait quietly. How about when you get put on hold when you call somebody? And you're just as busy as they are, but they put you on hold. What does that do to your psyche? What does it do to your mood? Are you undaunted and forbearing under provocation? Patience also means long-suffering. How patient are we? If a person exhibits love and joy and peace, it's impossible to imagine that same person as impatient. I think you'll see as we go through this series that each one, in a sense, depends on all the ones preceding. We have talked about love, and from love springs joy, and from joy springs peace, and from love, joy, and peace springs patience. The people you know that are loving and joyful and peaceful are probably patient people too. Why? Well, because they forget themselves. They exhibit gladness. They're filled with peace. Someone has said that people drive the way they live. If you drive like a madman, you probably live like a madman. If you mosey along in a casual, vague way, sort of weaving back and forth from lane to lane, your life is probably like that too. You're not a person who gets uptight about anything. What happens, happens, fine. It doesn't really make any difference. Let's not worry about straight lines and square corners. Just take it as it comes. Well, I'm not in that category. Patience does not come naturally to me. Am I patient instead of furious? Do I give nasty gestures? Or is my response, the peace of the Lord be always with you? Have you heard the story of the lady who asked the minister to pray that God would give her patience? And the minister said, yes, sister, I'll pray that. And he put his hand on the lady's shoulder and he said, oh, Lord, send this dear sister all sorts of tribulation. And she said, wait a minute, Brother Smith. That wasn't what I asked you to pray for. I asked you to pray for patience. And he quoted Paul's word, tribulation worketh patience. The trying of your faith works patience. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, we read, your goodness must be accompanied by knowledge, your knowledge by self-control, your self-control by the ability to endure, your endurance, too, must always be accompanied by devotion to God. We don't teach children very much about the ability to endure, do we? Amy Carmichael was once, when she was a little girl, she went to her mother and she said, "Mother, I have a very bad pain." And her mother said, "I'm sorry, dear, but Mother, it is a very bad pain." And her mother said, "I am afraid you must bear it, my dear." Valerie told a story, my daughter Valerie told about one of her small girls. I've forgotten which one it was. I think perhaps it was Colleen. She had told her that she must learn to bear things patiently. And Colleen had hurt herself. And so when she was sitting in the high chair eating her supper, she looked up and she said, "Mama, am I bearing this patiently?" And of course she was. Patience is a rare quality now. Have you taught your children to bear their hurts patiently? It is possible to encourage children to control their emotions. It's natural for children to make about as much fuss as they are allowed to make. I lived with Indians in the jungle, and children there were not allowed to make much fuss. It's not that they were stifled, but there was an example of patience and calm acceptance of the hard knocks that life brings that they saw in their elders. They didn't hear complaining. They didn't learn to complain. If they stepped on a thorn or a hot coal or got stung by a caterpillar, which they did more or less daily, they endured it with patience. That's not cruelty. That's wisdom, to teach your children not to make overmuch of a fuss. Think of God's long-suffering with us. He puts up with Peter, that unreliable, boasting, cocksure, timid man. Jesus even offered him a special place. And remember when Jesus went into the garden just before he was captured and taken out to be crucified, he took with him three of his closest friends. And he asked them to pray for him. Peter was one of them. But what happened? They couldn't even watch with him 1 hour. They didn't have the patience, the endurance, and the long-suffering. They fell asleep. And yet Jesus made Peter the rock with a capital R. He changed his name to Peter, which means rock, and he said, "On this rock I will build my church." It was to Peter, that unreliable, boasting, cocksure, timid man, that Jesus entrusted with feeding his sheep. Isn't that amazing? The mercy of God, the long-suffering and patience of God with Peter. And I know that I'm much worse than Peter was. But if God was patient with him, he's patient with me. And I know he has been, and I'm so grateful. Evelyn Underhill asks, who shines most in that series of events? Is it Christ or Peter? And her answer is, Christ shines and Peter is transformed. The fruit of the Spirit is never impatience or hustle or rigor. It's patience, gentleness, quiet waiting, biding of one's time. God is called the God of patience, Romans 15:5, the God who inspires men to endure. Patience springs from trust, not trust in ourselves or even trust in others, not trust in events, but God, the blessed controller of all things. At every turn, life links us to the Lord. In life or death, we are in the hands of the Lord. Christ lived and died that he might be the Lord in both life and death. Here's a matter which most emphatically requires your personal choice, a decision to submit or not to submit. In prayer, one of the things that we should learn is patience. Usually, our time schedule is very different from God's. We ask God for something and we feel as though we've got to have it today or tomorrow at the latest. and maybe it doesn't come for 10 days or a year. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Await his unhurried action, his deliberate speed, majestic instancy. Let nothing disturb you, wrote St. Teresa. Nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience wins all things. Whoever has God wants nothing. God alone suffices. Let nothing disturb you, nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience wins all things. I have this on a little card over my desk, and I often look at that. Patience wins all things. I look back over my life, and I realize that statement is true. It doesn't seem like it when we're in the midst of waiting for something. Have you been praying for something for years, and you're getting a little bit impatient with God? Patience wins all things. Whoever has God wants nothing. God alone suffices. That word wants, of course, is the Old English meaning lacks nothing. Whoever has God lacks nothing. We've got everything we need in God. And in Revelation, the second chapter, he's giving to John the message to the church at Ephesus. He says, I know how hard you have worked and what you have endured. Or another translation says, I know your patience and what you endure. Whatever you are enduring right now, remember, God knows what it is. He sees your patience. He is at work. He is hearing your prayers. He will give you an answer. Ask God to give you his patience.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.